Welcome to the YBNB show. This one is the unofficial title until Annabelle and I come up with a formal title. Is going to be the one with the suits, and you'll find out why in a minute. But it's myself and Annabelle having our usual chit chat, which many of you say is entertaining. But importantly, we have a guest for the first time in a long time, Caroline Andrew. And Caroline has very kindly agreed to join us, and we're going to talk a lot about the area of her work. But let me first of all let you know that she is one of the very few, and in our opinion, the absolute best female tailors on Savile Row, and one of the very few females to do that job in the first place. But secondly, I think the only one who actually makes suits, tailored suits for couples and, you know, men and women. And like I say, in our opinion, the absolute best. And here we are sporting some examples of her wonderful work. So,
yeah,
hello.
So that's why it's the one with the suits.
And that's why it's the one with the suits. Yeah.
So thank you very much for having me, Annabelle and Angela. And you both look amazing. I've done a lot of sort of father and son suits and wife and husband and actually mother and daughter. It's like, yeah, just you guys so far, maybe a couple of others, but
yeah, the new power couple, mother and daughter.
Definitely, you could in fact do all sorts of generations, and that's the first thing really. And we're going to talk about a lot of things to do with women and careers, and you know, but business suits is actually sort of part of that, because one of the things that we've not had these very long, and it's actually 30 degrees or something outside at the moment, isn't it? And we really didn't think that it was going to be that weather when we chose these fabrics, because you had so many fabrics, beautiful fabrics to choose from. You call them cloths, I think, do you?
Yeah, cloths. Yeah, cloth books.
Yeah. So we chose these. We love, you know, the colours, and then you helped us select the linings and everything and the shapes, and there were so many options, and it was so lovely to go through the whole process. But I think that I've been really surprised at how versatile they are. You know, very, very hot out, but it's been cold as well in the last week or so.
Yeah.
And Annabelle and I each have worn these probably five times already.
Yeah, in the space of about 8 days.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We've worn them. How versatile they are, along with the varying English weather.
Yeah, I've worn them in business meetings. We wore them to a networking event where I was on my feet the whole day with flats. Wore them with some really, you know, sky-high YSL sandals, and yeah, I mean, you know, with roll necks on, with bodies on, with
so they've been to dates, parties, business meetings.
Everybody has commented on how amazing they look. Yeah. So not only do you feel great and confident, but people really notice as well. So I think I always thought that the suit was sort of behind me, because now I wasn't, you know, in a formal sort of office environment, but actually it's not the case. So anyway, we'll talk more about suits, but let's find out a bit more about you first of all. Tell us how you got into this, you know, this business, and how you've ended up where you are.
So I studied bespoke tailoring at London College of Fashion. I started doing a foundation diploma, which is a year in art and design, which you have to do to as a kind of access into any creative BAs. So I specialised in menswear. And then in the final term of that, I got offered a place on bespoke tailoring or menswear design.
And why did you go for menswear? Was it because that was the traditional route for bespoke tailoring?
Or? So I actually did the bespoke tailoring degree because it was a bit more practical. But so the menswear design was more designing, and I really enjoyed making. The women's wear, women's wear design was a bit different, and it was very competitive and cutthroat. And I really like the feeling of menswear. I don't know, working with men, which I'll complain about a lot now, but at the time it seemed like much more straightforward than working with women, which...
Well, men are, I think, you know, I mean, as an aside, men can be... Got two men over there, really, but, you know, they
we
are...
We love working with you guys.
Yeah, they are very straightforward men in that they say what they mean, don't they? If they say, oh, I want it like this, or I can't do it Tuesday, I can do it Wednesday, or whatever... Like, that's really what it means, isn't it? Whereas we're a bit more complex as women, so we don't quite say what we mean. So maybe that
we change our mind a little bit more. Probably.
Yeah, and maybe that sort of spills over into fashion and design. Maybe that's why they're more straightforward.
Yeah. So I did bespoke tailoring, and then I'd get calls. So that our sort of tutor would give us a call and say, you know, oh, Burberry have got their show next week, so they really need help. Who wants to go? So there'd be a group of us who would go, and we'd be like changing buttons for the trench coats, you know, a couple of nights before the show. And then the head of design came to see us all, and it was probably like there were probably 20 of us at sort of, I don't know, 3 p.m. And by 3 a.m., there was maybe two or three of us left. And I remember I was working on like a white pleather kind of trench coat. And at this point, it was just at the beginning of the course, so I hadn't really got the handle of using a thimble. And my finger was bleeding so badly because I'd been like sewing these buttons on for about 12 hours. And I was like panicking because I didn't want it to get on this white, beautiful white kind of, it was a kind of patent pleather kind of trench coat. And then she came in and she was like, you, and come to my office. So I was like, oh crap, I've clearly bled all yeah. over something. And she said, anyway, she was like, you know, what are you doing for the next 3 months? We want you here. We want you to do an internship. So obviously I was probably 18 at the time, 19. And so I was like, wow. Yeah. And that was it. Like being in London, I had a very different university experience to lots of friends who went to Leeds and Bristol.
Yeah.
And just did a lot of partying and made a lot of friends and all sorts. Mine was a bit different. So I thought, well, I'm just going to work for as much as I like do get as much experience. And Burberry was my first sort of in. And I was so excited. It was a huge institution. And I loved it. And so from then on, I would do a lot of work experience because you don't get paid. So I thought, well, you might as well do it whilst you're, you know, knee deep in student debt and like struggling anyway.
Yeah.
Just, you know, be taken advantage of as soon as possible.
But getting all that experience.
Yeah.
Because we used to do a series called I Want to BA. Some listeners might know about this, but we had a podcast series called I Want to BA where I interviewed people from every different industry that I could think of and asked them what it was like to do that job. But we never had a tailor on there, I don't
never.
Think.
Never. We had a few people in fashion, like merchandising and stuff, but never a tailor.
No. So it's really interesting, actually, to talk to you about that sort of journey. And from what you're saying, it's like it's a labour of love to start off with.
Yeah. Well, it's all about... who you know and what you know.
Although you got picked out of a group, but that sounds like it's because you were determined.
You were there for 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. like
one yeah.
trying, yeah. Yeah. So, and then I really enjoyed Burberry. I loved it, but there was not too much, like there wasn't that much creative scope because, you know, it's a huge company and, So I then went to work for a smaller fashion designer, Jonathan Saunders, who's no longer, but he was amazing based up in Islington.
I had some of their clothes, yeah. I had amazing sort of brown, sort of nylon dress and jacket by Jonathan Saunders.
Yeah.
It's really expensive. It was quite exclusive stuff. But always used to, I used to wear it to work a lot. You probably don't remember. It was but really amazing. Yeah, I used to like his stuff.
Yeah. So no, and he's Scottish and he was so much fun and he would just sort of chain smoke and it was just this like real fashion, like what you could imagine a fashion internship, kind of the Devil Wears Prada. Yeah. It was a bit like that.
Which I love that. We all love that film.
Yeah. We love it. Yeah. And it was, again, it was the day before the show. So we'd kind of like not sleep 2 weeks before the show and it would just... probably like 3 days before you just like there would be no sleep for 72 hours.
Yeah.
And I remember Katie Grand who and Lulu Kennedy of Fashion East, but Katie Grand, she came in, she's a stylist and helping Jonathan and her husband sort of was DJing for the show. And that we had all of the looks, probably, I don't know, 30 looks pinned on this glass wall. And just like she was like, this is shit, this is, and like all of them coming down and we were like, Jonathan, oh, and then she leaves and it's all like nicey and then it's suddenly like, fuck.
And then what happened?
And then you just have to like manically redo everything.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's so it's really stressful and you know, you work bloody hard. Yeah. So then
it's like fashion and finance, it seemed to be the two.
It is, yeah.
Similar
it's
things.
Just,
yeah.
It was a lot. And so I then sort of, in my final year of London College of Fashion doing the BA bespoke tailoring, I had to create a collection of 4 suits. And there's a lot of technical work. And so In terms of making a jacket, I had to do everything myself the proper way because it was all picked apart by the examiners and things. So I went into a basement of Savile Row because all of the tailors, the coat makers, are in the basements of Savile Row. I remember going with some coffees and croissants one Saturday morning and meeting this really lovely tailor called Bobby. And I was like, hi. Can I just sit and watch you for a little bit? And he was a bit, but then I had the goodies, so they were kind of like, okay, who's this weird girl? But they let me in, and that was kind of how I got in there. So then I would watch them and watch what they did, and then they didn't mind. I'd do that every Saturday, and then probably, you know, evenings and the odd morning off I had.
So
that's like a top tip, isn't it?
Well, that's it.
Coffee
I was going to say, lessons
go a long way.
But lesson number one there is, like, because you said something earlier, which I didn't necessarily agree with, but people often think this when they say, you know, it's who you know. But I think it isn't that. I think, you know, obviously you get to know people, but there is a reason for it very often. And that is that you're prepared to do a lot of things that other people are not. So you were sitting there for 12 hours sewing buttons on, even though your finger was bleeding. And mm-hmm. and then, you know, so many people would, no way would they be prepared to go and knock on a door with coffee and croissants. Yeah. Far too scared they would be
Not, you know. Who you know, I didn't know anyone.
Exactly.
So I had to knock on doors.
But people need to know that. In every type of industry, that even now where people hate going on Instagram, for example, they hate going on Instagram live, they hate speaking, they think they don't look great and things like that. But like, if they don't, no one's going to know who they are. If you'd knocked on those doors, no one would know who you are.
You've got to put yourself out there.
Yeah, you really got to. So you did that anyway, and then you end up learning this stuff and putting the jackets together. And then what happened?
Yeah. So it's also being in London. I'm not from London, I'm from the Scottish borders. And I've had a great grounding, and my parents have given me a moral compass, but then they were very much like, right, off you go. I didn't have any connections or any sort of like base in London. So, you know, there's this whole, you fake it till you make it. And like, I very much did, but you do make your own luck. And so I just, you know, in London, I'd watch people, If you're not from London and you come to London, it's terrifying, and you do just, everything's very expensive and you get up to your eyeballs in debt, and you either make London work for you, or it will like will just ruin, it just takes from you. It can kind of, so actually being here for uni, you could kind of see you see how people maneuver, and I'd kind of see older people in professions and whatever, and making London work for them. And I just thought, you know, I've got to do this. I've somehow got to make this work. So I was, you know, I worked at Nando's at the very beginning when I was at London College of Fashion. I worked at the Brompton Club, which was just taking people's coats and things, which was a members club. And all of these, you know, I was treated like, not very nice, you know, it's 3 a.m. in the morning on a Friday and Saturday by people from different walks of lives. And so I think all of these experiences, it kind of shapes you.
That's the second lesson, really, which is, I've been doing a lot more work with Joe Dispenza. Some people might know who he is. And one of the things he talks about is making sure that your inner world is greater than your outer world, being greater than your environment, you know, being clear on what it is that you want, not to the nth degree, but just having a bigger picture of where, who you are and where you're going, and making that more real than the outer world. Because, you know, if you think you're a great person, you think you're talented and you think that you're going places, and then you get treated like shit, you know, on a Friday night, that could actually make people think, oh, actually I was wrong, I'm not that great, you know, because they allow their outer world to be greater than their inner world. So again, that's a really important thing there that I want people to realize, is that, you know, you have to just believe yourself without being too cheesy. You know, you've got to hold on to that, and there's lots of techniques to do that. You know, as part of what we teach on YBNB, we'll weave this in as we go through, is you know, the emotional gym, as I call it, is absolutely critical. And you have to do it every day. You have to remind yourself what it is that you want, how you want to think, and who you are and where you're going, regardless of, you know, you can't sort of think that, do that meditation or do that sort of journaling or whatever, and then be immediately knocked off your perch, you know, by a nasty comment or something like that. So making your inner world more real is a really important tip.
But also, like you say, making the environment work for you. I think
yeah,
so
making
many
it
people
work for you. Yeah, definitely.
Are like, you know, you're on a good track and then there's a recession, there's you get sacked, there's something.
Mm.
And rather than being like, oh, you know what, it was great, but I can't do it, is how you've been of, well, I'm going to get there one way or another. I have to just make it work.
Yeah, just wing it. I think I learned treating people, you know, as, it sounds so silly, as you'd like to be treated. And I think that, you know, you can get very far in business and having your own business if you, you know, are nice to people and you can read them. And so, yeah, working at places, you know, I wish I'd worked at Pret because they must see it all. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many people come in there and buy a coffee and leave? And it's all kind of people skills and you have to have that.
My first job was at 14 and I was washing up and then I was making sandwiches. And then I was serving in a baker's and then I worked in a supermarket. And then I had my first job in an office making all the teas. And, you know, all of those jobs are very character building. None of them were particularly nice at times. But, yeah, you have to do these things, don't you?
Yeah.
So then, obviously, you work for these different companies. And then what sparked this desire in you to want to do it yourself?
So I was working for free on Savile Row, doing lots of work experience and apprenticeships. And then I was working, working at the Brompton Club and things, kind of Wednesday to Saturday evenings, just taking people's coats and showing them to tables and a bit of hostessing, I guess you call it. And I wanted to combine the two. I really wanted to get paid for doing something that I wanted to do, which was tailoring. So I went to work over in the city, the City of London, for a tailor's for about 6 years, which I loved. And it just got to a kind of point. I ended up running someone else's business whilst they, you know, had lots of holidays. And I, you know, I was training people and I wanted to do things my way. I wanted to do more pattern cutting. I wanted to do, you know, women's and men's. It's difficult when you work for someone else because there were some suppliers who were like, we're not being paid, we can't give you the cloth, and you're like, oh god, well that's not me. And you kind of push came to shove. And I,
although that gave you probably a lot of exposure as what it was like running a business.
Yeah.
I mean, I always say to myself, you know, pay people and treat people nicely because it's such a people business. You know, my coat makers and trouser makers, they'll make for me and I do the pattern cutting. And, you know, as long as people are paid on time and you treat them nicely, they're happy to help if you have like a wedding emergency or something.
So treating your suppliers really well is obviously a critical thing. But you start this business and then you obviously have to get clients. And a lot of people, they want to start their business. They're really, really good operators. So they work for someone else. They do a great job like you did for this previous business owner. And then they start their own business. And then they realize that, oh, you know, especially sort of people like hairdressers and recruiters I've come across, and they're really, really good at doing the job. But then they suddenly start this business and think, oh, hang on a minute, I'm not quite so good at getting new clients. And maybe I'm not quite so good at operations. Oh my God, you know, I actually don't like this now. I want to go back to actually operating within the business. But that didn't happen to you. You obviously have thrived. So what, you know, when you started, what were the challenges? How did you get your clients? I mean, you now have got two amazing premises. You know, you're based in Mayfair, one of the most prestigious locations alongside Savile Row. So, I mean, how did you get to that?
Yeah, so I, at the beginning when I started the business, I didn't want to take money off anyone or funding. So I'm completely self-funded. And I started in my spare room in my flat in Vauxhall. And some of the old tailors on Savoy, some of the old men would laugh at me because I'd be like running to the presses or to the cloth merchants. So the cloth merchants, who are the fabric suppliers, they have fitting, like a couple of fitting rooms, and they let sort of like travelling tailors or people who have come into London from outside, say Manchester, use their fitting rooms. So I'd be running, like I'd have tailors, coat makers and trouser makers based on Savile Row, and the presser who do the final pressing or buttonhole, the ladies who do the buttonholes and finishing and things. So I would always be running around with like 10 suit bags from my flat in Vauxhall, like around Savile Row, and it was all, it just, so it was working because I had suits. And the beauty with suits is, you know, they cost X amount, and then within that, you know, you can pay who people who need to be paid, and then you have like a little bit left over, a bit of profit, and then if you just keep doing that. So I did that for about 6 months, until I had, my spare room was bursting with client suits, and they were a bit like, you know.
So how did you find your clients? You know, because a lot of people can't find clients. How did you do that?
Yeah, so I was lucky. GDPR hadn't kicked in, so I cold called. I would just pick up the phone and, you know, go through the FSA, the Financial Register, and the Law.
What did you used to say?
Society.
So you just went for all the finance and law. Just
yeah, people who wore suits.
So you're this young girl, and you ring up, and what do you say?
So I just make it, I try and make it as awful, really con, I've got really good clients who are still customers, and we kind of joke about it because they think it's hilarious. And I think people respect people who try.
Yeah.
And so they're like, you know, it is what it is. So I would just try and make, because you have the gatekeepers as well, who are often the PAs and things, so you'd have to kind of swerve them and say, oh yeah, you know, you'll know what it's regarding. It's Caroline Andrew, and so just some awful, basically fibbing, but just to get around the gatekeepers, and then just having a pitch of, you know, how are you doing? Don't worry, we haven't spoken before. I can hear you racking your brains, and just, you know, I'm making suits for some of your colleagues. You know, don't worry, no one singled you out as saying you're scruffy. It's just to try and make them laugh.
A bit laughing,
And then get, and you know, of course, you'd have like the phone hung up on you.
And was this men you were talking to or females?
So males, but do you know what was funny? I called what I thought was a male name, but actually it was a female name, Gunver. She's Norwegian, and to this day she's still a very good client. So I went to see her and I was like, oh shit, it's not, you know, man. I probably,
so you expected it to be a man?
Yes.
Oh wow.
And then I just had to like carry on with the pitch, the cold call pitch anyway. And to this day, you know, she's a very senior lady at BP or Shell, one of the sort of managing directors. And she's a really good client, and so is her.
And was this a surprise? Was this like you? So you think you're making men's suits, and then suddenly you go and see her, and now you think, oh, I'm going to make a female suit. Is that allowed?
Yeah. Well, it's so because I'd learned how to make male suits. The whole sort of female suits had just come about through me being a woman and wearing suits, and then people are like, oh, so I want that. So I just sort of had to.
So you started to be your brand. You started to wear
because there's more. Dance, not in this because it's quite sloppy, but in your suits there's more dance and shape, so it's a bit more
so
difficult.
Would you just make suits for yourself and then for male clients, and then you had women be like, oh, that's cool,
yeah, or they'd be like, oh, can you make something for my wife, you know, it's her birthday, or
that's so nice.
So good to be your, so another like thing organic, that's you're being your brand thing. You know, but it reminds me the cold calling again, another thing, you know, and the thing that we just said about don't be, you can't be scared, even if you can be scared, but you have to push beyond the fear. Because I remember working for BP Oil. It was one of my first jobs. I was a graduate trainee, and they put me as a salesperson selling fuel oil and bitumen products. And I was only about 21, 22. Annabelle knows this story. And so, you know, I didn't know what I didn't know, and I didn't know about sizes of companies or anything like that. So I would do exactly like you said. I would actually go through the yellow pages at the time. So I'd end up talking to massive companies. The biggest one was the Metropolitan Police. Obviously, I knew who they were. And I would do exactly the same. And I would say, oh, is so-and-so there? And they would say, who's speaking? And I'd say, it's Angela. So I would never say, oh, and what's it regarding? It's a personal matter. Yeah. So and they would say, oh, it's Angela, then it's personal matter. Like, oh my God, you know, so,
yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, or you would do a different time, you'd do very early or you'd do very late.
Yeah.
Or you try, and sometimes they would pick the phone up and then you would get there and then you know, you'd have your pitch and it would have to be something that would differentiate you. And obviously at BP with fuel oil and bitumen products, there's not that much difference. So I would start to talk about, you know, the ease of delivery and obviously it would be a female voice, and I used the advantage of being a female to say that I'd come and see them. And so then I would sort of turn up, you know, a transport manager's office, and there'd be this young girl sort of turning up, and so I'd be a bit of a novelty, and ended up as a result being the top saleswoman because I was female, because I wasn't scared of who I would speak to, and because I just managed to sort of find a point of differentiation. And it sounds like you did exactly the same. And then, you know, if you do enough of that, then all of a sudden you get lucky like you did with your female client, and then your brand as well, and then you're up and running, aren't you? You see, you know, one would think that it was going to be a sort of like a saturated market because there's so many, as you said, old male traditional tailors, and yet here you are, you come along and then you start to build this amazing business.
Yeah, well, I think people, it's my customers, my sort of male customers have said, do you know what? Some of them have said, I find Savile Row quite intimidating, and do I want to be told what to wear by, you know, a 70-year-old man who has like his way or the highway?
Yeah.
Or do I want to come to you who can give me some, like, you know, I'd rather like you tell me how to look than a 70-year-old man.
Yeah.
And like, you'll listen to me and I know you'll take on board my points.
Yeah.
So it's like this, you know, collaboration. Like, I listened to you guys, what, you know, what you wanted
definitely
to emphasize, your waist and the high-waisted
trousers. So I was like lower waist, you were higher waisted. Yeah. We had like little different things that we're interested in, wouldn't we?
And
it was
and
great.
And similarly,
actually,
we both loved the shape of your trousers that you were wearing. We were like, oh yeah, we want this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With no, I never would have had turn-ups, but then you were wearing
them,
exactly. And
they're
so they're good.
Like a nice 2-inch turn-up.
Yeah, really nice. You know, we could talk all day about your history, because it's fascinating, you know, when people, you talk about how people get to where they are, because it looks like it's overnight.
Yeah,
but
it's, yeah.
There's a lot that goes into it.
I never took investment.
But I think what's brilliant is that some of the things that you've shared are things that anybody could do. Doesn't matter who they are, where they are, whether they've got money, not money, whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyone can do those things if they're prepared to. So anyway, so you get to where you are and now you've got this client base. So tell us about some of your clients, because obviously we share a client base in a way. Not the moment in terms of the same clients, but the same characteristics for many. So just tell us about some of your clients and, you know, how, well, we'll go on to how suits make them feel.
Like, who's the person that comes to
you? Who's the person,
you?
Yeah.
So I have a lot of word of mouth, which is a really, really lovely position to be in. And I've worked very hard to get to that place where I'm not cold calling and sort of bringing people in directly. So I would say I have a lot of middle-aged male customers who are, you know, they own a private equity firm, or they're quite senior in HSBC or UBS or Aramco oil and gas, or in the Middle East or something like that. All different shapes and sizes. Obviously, I think when I have a lot of clients who have worked and travelled incredibly hard their whole life. So their shape changes as they get older, and it's just being really kind and working with them on that.
Well, suits are great, aren't they? Because they can really provide such a good sort of structure of the body and hide a multitude of sins. Of course, they come to YBNB and then,
they
get the six-pack.
I was going to say, people want bigger shoulders and we help them create bigger shoulders.
Yeah.
But you can just do that with a suit as well.
You can do that with a suit.
Yeah, and we can hide. You kind of, through having a conversation, I can work out what people want to emphasise, what they want to hide. And like there is, with the right fabric and the right cut, you can do all sorts.
Oh, you really can. I mean, you know, when you look at men and women in well-cut suits, they just look fantastic, because it brings the waist in, it brings the shoulders out, it makes people look taller. But does it tend to be mainly business women, or is it all sorts of women that you make suits for?
All sorts. So there are lots of business women At clubs. So I did something with the Bath and Racquets Club. So that brought in some male customers, which was lovely. And then Jessica McCormick, who's a diamond jewellery designer in Mayfair, I sort of made her a suit, and we're each other's customers. And so I was in their newsletter, and that brought some lovely ladies. So I think, and then, you know, going to their houses to do fittings, which I do on occasion if you know, it's more convenient for them. And then their husbands are there. So it's all sorts. I mean, I think probably I have a lot of young female customers who are, you know, the youngest managing director at KKR, which is a private equity firm. She's probably in her like early to mid 30s, and lots of like young solicitors or barristers, female, who just don't have time to, you know, go rooting through, you know, Chanel or Hermes. And I guess also like having a label for some women isn't, they almost don't want to have the label. They want to have, it's too flashy, because you know Chanel's beautiful, but you know when you see something,
of course,
a Chanel jacket.
But I think it gives suits give gravitas to people that are young lawyers and young bankers and things like that. But also, though, I think it can be incredibly feminine. And, you know, I love the way that you pair your suit with like beautiful jewellery, lovely pendants, great shoes, you know, so you can actually make it look really sort of quite sexy and feminine. Doesn't have to be looking like a man, does it? So that's why I think that these are great, these suits, because it can make you feel, as I say, you have gravitas and feel that you're there to do business. But equally, you can actually feel really sexy, feminine, and it can carry it. So you can come out of an office and you can go to somewhere like Mark's Club and go striding in and feel great still, I think. And I know that some of your clients, they're certainly not lawyers and finance people. I mean, they're, you know, they're maybe wives of those people, or they're, you know, they're in other sorts of industries where you wouldn't expect them to have to wear a suit, but they still wear them.
Yeah, no, that's true. I have lots of clients in creative industries, wedding customers, I guess, because I'm in my early 30s. A lot of my friends or friends of friends are getting married, and they tend to be, whether it's graphic designers or even comedians, you name it. They all come, and then they love it, because people, you know, there is this, I think, slight connotation of a suit being, you know, a bit stuffy and a bit boring, but it's so not.
But like what you're wearing there, is it linen?
Yes.
Yeah,
and it's so cool.
Like you could wear it for travelling, you could go on holiday, you can sort of, like, you've got a little black top under.
I'm
going
to wear a linen suit to a wedding I'm going to, and it's like perfect for that.
Yeah.
Really, really lovely.
It's so much more versatile than I think people think of a traditional suit being.
And you could do it with, definitely, you could do it with skirts, shorts, stuff like that as well.
Yeah.
And you were saying that sometimes you do the jacket, but then you do the trousers and you do
a dress
and you would do a skirt, so like you've got all of these different options.
The whole thing, like, you can, there's so much we can do. It's great. And so having like a jacket, a trouser, a skirt, a dress, it just makes so many more outfits, and so you can wear the jacket so much more.
And I guess actually also coming to you is much less daunting for someone than going and finding their own suit, because I'm thinking of our clients that are stepping up to a new role, or, you know, changing industry, doing something totally different, and, or, you know, they're their next version of themselves.
Yeah.
And they think, okay, well, now I need a new look. Where on earth do I begin?
Yeah.
And, you know, we have conversations with them about things, but if you're suddenly in an MD role or more of a leadership role, you do kind of want that helping hand of, what is the right thing for me to wear? How can I still feel confident and not like I'm pretending?
Yeah.
And, you know, like you say, like going shopping on your own or with a friend is often probably scarier for them.
Well, also, you can go to somewhere,
talk through how to do everything.
Yeah, and you may think, oh, I need to go to Chanel, or I have to go to Gucci, or I have to go somewhere like that to get a label. Then you end up spending thousands.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think you know, value for money wise with your suits is absolutely brilliant.
When it still might not fit you properly if you just and go it may into not even Chanel fit you. Or something, yeah. You know?
And the fabrics aren't, I mean, Chanel's fabrics are great, but in some of the others, like Gucci, you know, it's not really wool or silk. It can often be a nylon.
Yeah, exactly. Poly. But I also think, you know, a lot of the clients that we work with, we work to coach them to get to that next level. Mm. So they tend to be in corporates, these particular ones, and they'll be at, you know, executive director level, for example. They're trying to get to managing director. And one of the things that we do, so we work with them on their body so that they're starting to feel more and more confident. They're changing shape. They want to show their body off a bit more. They don't want to hide it anymore. But and we talk to them a lot about grooming, about hair, about nails, and which, you know, is really important, because then it doesn't matter what you wear to a certain extent if you're looking groomed. But then we say dress as if you've got that job already. You know, don't wait and then get the job. Like, just dress, and you know, even if you're on a Zoom call, but you know, certainly if you're in face to face. Unfortunately, we are very, very visual creatures still. And if someone just strides into a meeting and they've got one of your suits on and, you know, they're dressed for that position, what you'll tend to find is that, you know, the management, they will expect you to be at a certain level. Mm-hmm. And then they suddenly, if they find out that you're not, that you're ED or VP or something, they're like, why is she not MD? You know, I just thought she was. And just that image and the way that you look can really have a massive impact still, even despite everything, despite all of the procedures and, you know, methods of promoting someone. Still, we're very, very visual creatures.
And the way that you feel in it, you know, you feel like a more senior person or more confident. Or
well, there's whatever. No doubt about it. I mean, I remember when I went through my own transformation in sort of 2016, 2017. And I used to spend fortunes on clothes because I was doing lots of speeches and stuff in 2016. And I'd put, you know, I had the tummy roll and I'd put quite a lot of sort of mumsy weight on. And all of a sudden, I was always buying clothes and sort of jackets and thinking, oh, does my bum look big in this? And sort of pulling it down and all the rest of it. And then suddenly, you know, you transform your body and then you're fit and you're strong. And it doesn't quite matter so much. So then you can get something fitted and still feel absolutely great in it. So I think what you do is for people that either are not the shape they want to be or the shape that they do want to be, and it's still going to work for them.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I want people to feel as comfortable as possible. So people always say, no one's ever happy, regardless of whether they're a size
of how they look,
16 or 26 or, you know, hair or whatever. So people always come in apologizing, women especially. And you just kind of have to say, you know, come as you are. This is absolutely fine. And then, you know, what will be will be. And now I'm just going to send them all to you guys.
Yeah. Are men like that as well? Or is it more women?
Yeah, men are a bit sort of apologizing. And people would always say, oh, I'm going to lose weight. And so I would often measure a bit tighter. And I mean, even I always do it. So, and which, you know, but just natural. And I think it's quite a British thing. We're like always apologizing and, you know, not, it's just, so I would often measure tighter, customers a bit tighter with the tape measure, or take them, you know, literally and make things smaller. And then they just wouldn't fit because, you know, they didn't. And so I just want people to have beautiful clothes that they can wear now. And then if they do change shape, I change the suits to fit them. I take them in.
Amazing.
And do you find you almost get, because we love seeing our clients with their transformations, they suddenly step out and they're like, I feel so great, I'm so this, so that. Do you get that when suddenly they've then got their suit on, from like coming to you like, oh, I don't know what to do, and like, what should I wear and how's it going to look, all the way through to like strutting their stuff?
Yeah, well, what I find really great is, you know, male and female customers, they'll often send me a message like 6 months or a year later and say, oh my God, like this, the black suit we made, or navy or whatever the suit, it's got me through so many pitches, and every time I wear it, it's like my lucky suit. I have these great memories. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, for me, it's like perfumes, you know, these smells, they're like good and bad smells. Mm. And you can smell, you know, an ex or whatever. But for suits, you know, people have these really good things happen to them, and they'll come back in and share it with me. And that's really special. Like, I think, you can be the best version of yourself. And it's, you know, it's just something as simple as clothes, but people really do stand differently, and I think you are taken more seriously in a suit, and people seem to have be their best version.
And like you said, they don't have to be like black pinstripe, do they? I mean, it can be, you know, quite formal, a plaid like Annabelle's got, a bit lighter here, or even like white linen, or and you had like a red sort of coloured suit on the other day, which is lovely.
Yeah, we do everything.
One of the things I want to ask you is, do people have to come in and get measured, or can they give you measurements and get it done over Zoom? Because we have a lot of clients that are overseas, you know, Europe, LA, places like that. And they would, I'm sure they love the British brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did, in the pandemic, I did sort of work with some clients, male clients, who they sort of measured each other whilst they were on Zoom to me, and then they came over here for a final fitting. They were here for a few days so I could do any tweaks, and that worked. But like, my preference would be to see, especially if it's women, because that you need to do more measurements and have a bit more time with them. My preference would be to see them here, but yeah,
you can if you need to, and especially, I suppose, once you've had their measurements once, then you can do repeats.
Yeah, so I make a pattern for every client, so that's your measurements onto paper. So I'd have like these patterns. So if you said, I'm going to live in America for 10 years, and you just make me one every 6 months, I could use the patterns that we've created. And even to change the style a bit, if we spoke about it, we can still use the base pattern.
Mm. Yeah. And what's your turnaround? It's pretty quick for us. What's your normal turnaround?
So normal turnaround is 12 weeks. Right. So we do
you
a
did
base
it quicker
did.
For us though, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, no, we did. Sorry, I think we did it in sort of 6 weeks.
Yeah.
The fabric, yeah. So yeah, if the fabric is on time, then we can do it in kind of 8 weeks. But I say 12 just so that I don't let anyone down or overpromise.
So it's really nice you've sort of taken the mystique out of, you know, having a tailored Savile Row suit for a female. And I think the other thing as well, I remember Steve Jobs always used to talk about, you know, he just wears black T-shirt because it takes the decision making out of what to wear. And it is nice when you have outfits like that, where you just don't have to think about it. It's like, as you said, it's either a lucky outfit or it's, you know, it's just a go-to. It's a regular go-to. You know, you're always going to feel great in it. You know, it fits you really properly. And we need that, especially when we're in business as well. We need that sort of convenience to grab, and then you can have fewer things. And then you can sort of start to add loads of other bits and pieces to them. Speaking of which, you do some off the peg stuff, don't you, as well?
Yeah. So on Kensington Church Street, we have a shop that I started in the pandemic, because I find that most of my customers in Mayfair, Savile Row, are more business suits and people who sort of come in and a time poor, and so I work with them that way. And then Kensington Church Street, it's lovely. It's a really sort of pretty street with coffee shops, and we're open on a Saturday. People go to the farmers market. So we have field jackets and more casual sort of off the peg things that we developed in the pandemic because things shifted a bit.
Sartorially.
Yeah. And physically.
Of course, yeah. Do you make shirts and things as well?
Yeah. We do. It's not my main thing. My main sort of thing is suits, but on the side, because sometimes especially my male customers will come in with like a really ill-fitted shirt, and then you've made a great suit.
Oh yeah.
So I'll do. I'll make shirts, cotton, and then silk for women.
Yeah, because on women, obviously, with your boobs, sometimes like it gapes open there and things like that.
Like buttons, just slightly different places.
What about collaborations? Do you collaborate with particular shoemakers or accessories? Or I know you've had a few events with watchmakers and with sunglass makers and stuff like that, don't you? So,
So I did a collaboration with Anne Ordain, who are a watchmaker in Glasgow. So they're the only UK British watchmaker who make everything from scratch up in Glasgow, and I love their brand and I love what they do. And we got talking, and they were like, oh my god, you're a woman tailor, and you know, you make everything here, it's really cool. And so we designed a watch. I should have worn it, just got my whoop on, which you'll be impressed with.
You've got your whoop and I've got my aura. Yeah, we're all into that. What's Annabelle wearing? This? She's just intuitive. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's beautiful. So it was sort of like tailoring in a watch. So they very cleverly used various presses to, so in the suit jacket we have horsehair canvas and body canvas and Demet, which is a sort of soft tissue that makes sure the horsehair doesn't like itch you or anything. And so they played around with these and it's, yeah, really cool. The watch face is like the horsehair. If you turn it, it changes dimension. So it's really clever. And the watches, I think there's a limited run of them, and they're going to be on sale in Watches of Switzerland. Ooh. So we're doing a talk to their sort of top customers, and they're here and in New York, the shops. That was really, really fun.
Yeah.
And then because I have the shop, it's nice doing, Anne Ordain, they have a huge waiting list. It takes 3 years if you want to have a watch made. You have to sign up to that. And so I love what they do. It's very slow, and they don't, you know, people always try and invest and throw money at them and go, you know, I want a watch tomorrow and I'll give you, you know, I'll invest in your business. And they're like, no, just no thanks. And they keep it really clean and really small so that, you know, they're not compromising on the product and the quality of the product. So I love that. Mm. And then having the shop, I think it's a really nice opportunity to support and to help other businesses and get them out there. Mm-hmm. So Nico, he has a sunglasses business. His family run an optician's in Surrey, and we were introduced by a mutual friend and customer of mine. And so he has a little showcase of his sunglasses in the shop, which is lovely.
Yeah, it's really nice.
They go really well with the ready-to-wear.
Well, players. I think collaborations is the way forward. You know, obviously we've heard now of influencer marketing, but collaborations between businesses where there are very complementary services and where, you know, the client base overlaps. You know, for those listening who are thinking about their business, how to build their business, how to get new clients, that is definitely a way forward. But, you know, the old ways work. The cold calling works.
I think, like, on that, as with collaborations, like, be generous in introducing other people as well, because we were obviously kindly introduced by a mutual friend from going to an event, and now we're collaborating and things like that.
Yeah.
But I think so many people are like, oh no, that's my business. Oh, no,
or that's my client. Yeah, very much so. Or that's my friend.
So much can come out of thinking.
Yeah.
There'll be, you know, there's mutual benefit in all sorts of collaborations.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely what you put out, you get back, you know, multi times, don't you? So I'm thinking of wearing, you know, of suits again and other places you could wear them besides just in the office or just running around town and everything. I love that evening sort of tuxedo look on women. Mm-hmm. So do you ever do stuff like that?
Yeah, all the time.
Great.
So,
and I love that when you wear like a sort of like a bra top underneath, or, you know, it can really look
some
fab.
Some sort of corset.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. Glyndebourne is coming up, which is the opera, and I've made two female tuxedos for that. One's a couple.
Beautiful.
Black
or white or both?
She had, she had navy.
Yeah.
And then her partner husband had black, so really, really lovely. And we did like a beautiful kind of navy satin on the lapel and then a strip down the side of the trousers.
So nice.
Yeah,
oh, gorgeous.
She looks really...
I love that in white as well. Mm-hmm. When people wear white suits, that sort of tuxedo look. Yeah
And for weddings we do, like, we've done a few sort of bride suits, bridal suits.
Yeah.
So sort of after when they change, do you mean? Or
no, they got married.
Oh, actually, to get married
in
like a city wedding or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, some people get married in jumpsuits.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit different. So, yeah, there's so many different things you can do. Like, even this blazer. I was in France the weekend at the wedding, at my friend's wedding, and I had like a black linen dress on and some wedges on the Friday night, and I threw this over and it looked really nice with like a fitted dress and then a boxy blazer. So you can break it up.
Well, exactly, and you can wear the trousers just with a t-shirt or something.
Yeah.
No, and we're big fans. And with the waistcoat. Oh, I love that waistcoat look as well.
Yeah.
No, I think we're become super fans, we're already talking about, right, okay, what's the next suit?
Yeah, we'll be wearing a suit every single time anyone sees us.
But, you know, it's not for nothing, is it, that, you know, for years and years it's been a tradition amongst men that, you know, they get four suits a year and they have their tailor from the beginning, and it's in the tailor's inherited sort of generation to generation. And but it makes sense, doesn't it, to have these sort of staples in your wardrobe that look sort of great the whole time. So,
yeah,
I think... we would be, thoroughly recommending, and particularly recommending your services, having been there. And you make it fun as well.
Yeah, it has been fun.
Yeah, I want to demystify, because it's intimidating coming into the shop, St. George Street. It is, you know, you guys, it's like a time warp. Mm-hmm. Nothing has changed for 100 years. So it can be a bit
bell
stuffy.
Rings when you push the door open. Yeah.
And so you have to just make it really fun, because I don't ever want people to walk into a shop like Pretty Woman and feel like intimidated or uncomfortable. Like even men, almost men more so, because people don't go shopping anymore. So I just, you know, have like a chat with people and make them relaxed and get to know them.
Yeah, because I do find as well, like even with my friends, there are either people that have always had suits made or always had their clothes made for them or have never ever done it.
Yeah, I don't know that many people have actually.
But those who have never done it, even like we were, it's nice to go in somewhere knowing that you're going to feel comfortable, you're going to be walked through it, you're not expected to know anything.
No,
and, you know, makes it a more friendly kind of place to go and try.
I love the little details as well, sort of like in terms of the buttons, and do you want the side tabs, and where do you want the pockets, and, you know, the width of lapels. Yeah, it makes it fun.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and I can tell just from having a conversation with some clients who are maybe in their, whatever age, who have worked in business their whole life, and they have maybe had suits on Savile Row, like they know everything, and so they know what they want, and they want, you know, they'll only have 10 minutes, so you work through that. Or it's someone who... I'll start talking about pockets and they'll kind of look at me blankly. And I'm like, okay, well, this is where we are. You know, I didn't know, I haven't been born into a family of tailors. Like, I didn't know what Savile Row was when I was 17. Like, it, you know, I didn't know anything about suits. And it is, you know, I'm from the Scottish Borders. Like, it's different to London. And so, you know, who are, there's no reason to be like snooty or like make people feel uncomfortable. And so I always make sure that I try and explain as much as possible. And like,
you demystify
because I didn't
it.
Know what it was, you know, whenever. So,
well, us females, we love a pocket, don't we?
Love a pocket. Yeah. If you ever get a dress with a pocket, it makes me so happy to have pockets in these. Like, I can put my phone in there, my keys. Like, I don't have to carry absolutely everything in one hand anymore.
Yeah, and you've got some secret pockets on the inside.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I didn't know. Carlos pointed out to me the other day. I was looking for my keys, and obviously I check my trouser pockets. No, they're probably on your inside pocket. I was like, I've got an inside pocket.
Oh,
I didn't
God,
know
I just
had
found
more than
it.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. They're great for like cards, lipsticks, phones, and they're kind of hidden. So it's,
Because I hate having to take a bag out all the time as well. So to know you can just...
Oh, that's so lovely. I didn't even know I had
that
there.
We're using it for everything now.
Bonus. Extra
I'll be getting like plasters, lipsticks, everything anyone needs.
I think, you know, we've really covered... I think the versatility of a suit, that you don't have to be a lawyer or a banker to have one, that they don't have to look like men, that it can be every single type of product, you know, fabric, that you can wear them out in the evening, you can wear them to weddings, you can wear them to events.
To get something tailored for you, you don't have to be feeling your absolute best to start with.
Exactly.
So I think so many people...
Because you can adjust them after.
But like with clothes, people are always like, no, I want to be this size before I get that outfit, or I want to be a certain size.
Yeah.
Especially if you're paying to get something completely made for you. But I think...
And people buy off the peg, don't they? And then, you know, they can look lumpy and bumpy just because it doesn't fit them properly. Not, you know, because their body shape's not great.
It's amazing what something that fits you properly can do for you in terms of how you look.
In terms of... wearing it in the evenings and stuff. I love the idea of a tuxedo.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, no, you're right. I hope I didn't bang on about the lawyers and bankers, because I think for everyone, whether you're in between jobs or, you know, you're like a new chapter in your life at any age. I think it's really, for women, I think it's really important and really empowering to have like a well-fitting suit. Mm-hmm. And it can just be like a black, like stretchy wool crepe or something. Yeah. You know, it doesn't have to be a check or something that's too, you know, because these are like beautiful, but you know, you don't, like, you have to have confidence.
They're not creasing or anything either. These fabrics are good.
Like just a black plain suit or, you know, a grey flannel or something. I think it's so lovely to have just a well-fitted suit. I think everyone should have one in their wardrobe.
Even if you're thinking, you know, I'm going to start going for interviews or I want to start doing this.
I mean, I'm thinking about our clients, you know, and especially the ones, because we run a whole variety of different programs, as you know, and some people may not know, but we call it Your Body Means Business because we provide a very holistic service. And some people come because they want to change their body. And so then we direct them more to the workouts and the nutrition. And some people come because they want to achieve something else in their career. But just as a happier side, we get them to work on their body as well. But also what we tend to do is we help people with aesthetics. It's not really a program on that, but it is a really key component, you know, in terms of their grooming. We might be talking to them even about things like eyebrows, hairstyle, different jewellery, nails, as I said. But we're going to add suits to that advice now because, you know, and definitely even in the early days, we were talking to people about colours. And one of the things that I always used to advise people is, if you're now revamping your wardrobe, start to look at your outfits in terms of colour blocking. Because, you know, rather than having a multitude of different colours, just go for the same colours if you're having a top, jacket, because it just looks more put together sort of outfit.
Everything is in beige or everything is in black.
Yeah, even if you're in gym clothes or whatever, it just looks better. But we hadn't really sort of talked to them about bespoke suits before, and now knowing you and knowing, you know, the quality of what you produce and the ease with which you produce it for people, I mean, it's just a lovely experience. So certainly we'll be adding that to our list of advice, won't we? So thank you very much.
It's been so lovely. My first podcast.
Lovely talking.
I gotta cut it all.
You know, I'm just thinking about a podcast series that you could do. You know, you could call it Suits or something, and everybody
like
can
TV
come
show.
In like the TV, and everyone could come in their different suit and sort of talk about where they've worn their suit and the story of the suit. I mean, actually,
that would be great.
It'd be really there's all sorts of
then we'll come on yours and talk about all the multitude of things we've done in our suits.
What's
do you have any highlights from the suit so far?
I mean, I wore it to an event the other day with Annabelle, and we were collaborating with a beauty solutions provider, I suppose you'd call it, an aesthetics provider, Sadaf Jafari. Actually, I had people lying on on the sort of treatment beds and having this thing called M-Face, which is, for anyone who might know about it, it's like a face gym. So it's like a workout for the face. So you plaster these things on and it jiggles your face around. And everyone sort of then, the plaster's come off and everyone's jawline has gone really tight and they've got high cheekbones and everything. And they're all like, wow, you
amazing.
Know. So what she wanted Annabelle and me to do were to wander around the beds and just sort of talk to people while they're there. Because firstly, it's, you know, it's a 20-minute thing. So they're just sort of, they're just lying there with nothing really to do. So she wanted us to go around and talk to them and talk to them about our services and what we do. But even that, you know, you have that authority when you're walking around, you know, and people obviously knew that we were part of the organisation. And I actually felt a bit like a doctor or a surgeon walking around, you know.
Yeah, it was and so people like were doing so proper consultations.
And people were sort of like, well, how many times do I have to have this done? And, you know,
they say we needed a clipboard.
Yeah, just like, it immediately gave gravitas to the situation. So that was quite interesting.
Even though, like, we both wore our trainers that day with it as well. Like, we were casual as such, but we looked super smart.
Yeah, exactly. And we wore them to the arts club the other night, didn't we? We went somewhere for drinks and dinner.
Yeah.
And felt really good in that, you know. And I actually said to Annabelle, I actually feel really great in this. I don't feel like I need to have, you know, a tight dress or whatever to feel feminine and sexy. I felt really good in it.
Yeah.
So that's two of the places it's been so far.
Yeah, and you're comfy and you're warm at the same time. Like, for me, I hate being cold. And I was like, I don't have to wear a dress and be cold.
Yeah.
I can wear a suit and still feel great. We've just worn it in so many places. I think that's the thing that I found so surprising. Like, you can wear it all over the place.
Well, you won yours in France and a wedding.
Yeah. And I was trying to save it for Florence for tomorrow for this kind of work thing. And I couldn't even wait.
No, it looks lovely.
But yeah, no, it is. Everyone has lovely memories of the suits. And I think, yeah, people, I sometimes have the odd female customer who'll be like, oh, I'm not sure, you know, I just, the colour or the weight of the fabric. And I always know that after they've, you know, gone out and worn the suit a few times, all their friends will be like, oh my God, you look amazing.
Yeah.
And that always happens. And then I get a call and they'll be like, I want, you know, 10 more in like these different colours. Can I come in and have a look at more fabric?
Yeah.
So it's gone from in the fitting being like, I don't know if I'll ever wear this, to, you know, just getting so many compliments. And
well,
that
we said the
itself.
Same, didn't we? Yeah. That we want one every 2 months.
Yeah, we must have messaged yeah. you like 4 days afterwards being like, okay, we need 6 now.
Yeah, I know, it's so funny. All right, lovely. I'm sure we could talk many, many more time. We probably will. We'll get you back when we've got loads more suits and suits journeys to talk about. But
yeah.
For now, shall we leave it there?
Yeah, we'll leave a link in the description to your website and everything so people can
find
you.
For sure, yeah. Perfect. And yeah, if anyone needs to get in contact with you, it's carolineandrew.com, isn't it?
.com/.co.uk
.co.uk
And yeah, LinkedIn, Instagram is carolineandrewlondon.
Yeah. And you're based in, give us your addresses again in London.
So 11 St. George Street in Mayfair and 109 Kensington Church Street.
Can they just pop in or do they have to make an appointment with you?
So an appointment is better because I have fittings or I'm running around with fabrics and suits. Appointment is better. It's caroline@carolineandrew.co.uk.
Perfect.
That's my email.
And hopefully we're going to be doing all sorts of work with your clients as well, whether they are the shape they want to be or not, you know, because we work with them on their body shape. But like I said, you know, if they are the sorts of clients that are trying to get ahead in their career, then we've had some phenomenal success with that, with, you know, people that have been, you know, they've gone from losing their job and thinking that this is the end of their career through to becoming a top partner on, you know, 8-figure bonuses. And we had someone pre the pandemic, and she actually thought she was going to lose her business during because of COVID. She was in the events, and fast forward now, and she's quadrupled her turnover, and her accountant actually said, you know, is this true? Have I read this correctly? Mm-hmm. You've actually quadrupled your turnover and something like trebled her profit, you know. So we've built up a model of change now, which incorporates both mind and body. And it really, really works. You know, it works for people that think that they've plateaued, and they never, ever have. Once we get them to start thinking about thinking a certain way.
Or if they just think they've hit a wall, and they're really trying to get somewhere, and it's just something isn't quite clicking.
Yeah.
They work with you sometimes for 12 weeks, sometimes for 12 months, depends on the person and what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, everything works.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And all of a sudden it all comes together, and then they think, you know, it's coincidence, but it's clearly not. Well, lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that's the end of our one with the suits.
That's a wrap.
Yeah.